Michael Warschauer joining us now on the hotline. Michael, how are you today?
Doing well. Glad to talk to you guys again.
Well, we appreciate you making the time as well. And, boy, I want to get into a host of different topics here. And, well, I had a chance to catch the Grammys last night. And I know we don't really dive into that very often with you here. And I thought overall, I'm not sure if you had a chance to watch it, but overall, I thought that was a pretty impressive presentation. I thought Alicia Keys was very entertaining, yet very concise. I think it's tough as the host of an event like that to kind of push things along and move them along, yet still be very entertaining. And I thought she did all of that last night.
Yeah, she the Grammys have done a good job over the last couple of years of bringing in musicians to actually host. And I think that it's reflected pretty well on them. They've had a chance to have these really well-trained entertainers come out and play music and sort of live up to the expectations of the evening. And overall, the Grammys have figured out what I think other award shows haven't, which is that people are really tuning in not necessarily to see who won, but to be entertained. And so I think they did a good job of really putting on a show, and despite all the controversy that has surrounded inclusion in the Grammys and in the recording industry, it was really nice to see just a big, exciting show last night.
Absolutely. And I guess into some otherwise not so enlightening material here. Boy, Woody Allen suing Amazon for nearly $70 million. Any idea what this lawsuit's all about?
Yeah, this comes from Woody Allen. A few years ago, signed a big deal over at Amazon. He was signed by the now disgraced former head Roy Price to a four-picture deal with the studio, where he was going to make four movies. He made a couple movies. He made his series, A Crisis in Six Parts, as well as his films, Cafe Society and Wonder Wheel, both under Amazon. But he had just finished shooting a film called A Rainy Day in New York. And then all of the old abuse allegations against Woody Allen that were brought up by his daughter, Dylan Farrow, came back into the news when a whole bunch of new reports surfaced, and Dylan Farrow herself came out and spoke out against her estranged father. And as a result, Amazon decided to distance themselves from Woody Allen and from the movie. They have since shelved it completely. And this was a big movie. It stars Timothy Chalamet, Elle Fanning, Selena Gomez, Jude Law, Liev Schreiber. It has a huge cast. And almost all of them have sort of disavowed the film and disavowed Woody Allen and gone on to donate their salary, and in some cases even more, to various organizations like Time's Up. So Woody Allen is suing them for breach of contract. He's saying this is basically the money that he is losing from having his films being canceled. And he's also saying that while he says that these allegations are baseless and is still defending himself and saying they're not true, he's also saying that these allegations were public record for many years before Amazon signed the deal, so they kind of knew what they were getting into. It's a very strange defense, but I suppose at this point in his career, it's kind of the last defense that he has. So it's certainly going to be interesting to see how this plays out in court, but certainly I think it's already kind of played out a little bit in the court of public opinion in a lot of ways.
Yeah, tough to dispute that. It absolutely has transpired. And I want to get back into some of this other Grammy stuff, and not necessarily the show itself, but one of the commercials last night, it was a trailer for this new Aladdin movie. Now, that's not new. There have been other trailers that have been released over the last month or so, but this one last night teased Will Smith as the genie. Wanted to get your thoughts on that, why you think Twitter, or at least a portion of Twitter, was so incredibly upset about this.
Well, they really were. I happened to be on Twitter and not watching the show at the time, and I had to turn it on and see what all the fuss was about. This trailer for Disney's live-action remake of Aladdin came out last night, and it really had people talking. Disney's done a bunch of these remakes already with The Jungle Book and Beauty and the Beast, and Aladdin is one of their newest ones to come out. I think the biggest thing is if you've seen it, there's just something a little bit off about Will Smith as the genie Not necessarily his performance or like his gravitas or whatever you want to call it, but just in kind of the way he looks. He's very, very blue. And it's kind of this uncanny image. I think it reminded me a lot of the Beowulf movie and the Polar Express, which came out several years ago, both of which had these like very realistic animated humans that just didn't seem quite right. And I think that's the biggest part of it. I think there could be an argument made that there's a lot of people who have, Will Smith, the Fresh Prince, and Men in Black in their head, and the Robin Williams genie in their head, and kind of putting those two things together is kind of a strange combination of things. But I think this movie is still going to do really well. I think people are going to show up, even if they're curious, to see Will Smith as the genie, but Disney's proven that they have a big track record of doing these reboots really well. They have more coming out, with Dumbo coming out later this year, as well as a live-action remake of The Lion King. So I think that it's certainly got the internet abuzz right now, but I think we're going to forget all about it once this movie comes out and starts making millions of dollars.
I think there's a lot to what you said about the crossover and personalities, with the expectations of Will Smith and what he used to be, or the characters he used to play, and then, of course, the existence of Robin Williams as the genie the first time around. I think there's a lot to be said for that. Maybe that's why people are upset. Do you think it's the opposition to something new, a newer role, or someone, in the case of Will Smith, playing a role that was played so perfectly, people felt like, by Robin Williams, whatever it was, 30 years ago, they just don't feel like this is a good fit?
I think that might be part of it. A big reason that Disney is doing a lot of these remakes, especially of some of these films that came out, like Beauty and the Beast and The Lion King and Aladdin, all came out in the 90s. You have a lot of people that were, they were kids themselves back then and saw these movies, and now are taking their children to see the live-action remake. So a lot of these people were probably also watching The Fresh Prince and watching Will Smith at the peak of his career when they were younger. So I think that there is certainly something about that, of sort of reconciling this movie that was a big part of your childhood and this actor who's a big part of your childhood or your youth or whatever, being put into this new context. I definitely think that that's a part of it.
Yeah, and I didn't think that the trailer was all that bad. I thought it was, if nothing else, fairly intriguing. You know, and that's a role I think that Will Smith could certainly play. So I guess I just didn't understand all the backlash. But then again, sometimes, unfortunately, that's what Twitter is for. When you've got a grievance you need to air, sometimes you go to social media to do it. So I'm sure that probably factors in somehow, some way. All right, speaking of social media, Michael, I've got to ask you about this. A lot of people are going crazy over this Abducted in Plain Sight show, or I guess it's more like a documentary. Now, it's not new. It's been out for a while. I don't know why I had never heard of this before, but I heard little to nothing about it until about a month or two ago. Have you watched any of this special on Netflix, and do you have any thoughts on this?
I haven't watched it yet myself, but like you, I all of a sudden saw a whole bunch of people talking about it really in the last week or so. It has just sort of had this viral kind of sensation, which you don't see a ton without like a huge marketing push behind it anymore these days. So it's been kind of a curious case. But yeah, it's a documentary. It's about a true story about a girl in Idaho who was raped, abused, and kidnapped by a family friend. And it did premiere, 2 years ago, made its rounds on the festival circuit, and then just kind of faded away for a little while. But last year it was made available on some streaming platforms before getting on Netflix in January. And all of a sudden it just sort of has caught wildfire in the last month or so, and just sort of exploded. I think that there's two things going on here. First of all, it shows that there's still kind of a demand for the true crime documentaries that have been so popular over the last couple of years, and in particular one that is just a standalone film. It's 90 minutes. It's not an 8-part series. So perhaps there's been some true crime fatigue. We saw that with the new season of Making a Murderer. So perhaps that, just because it's this very short and concise thing, that's part of it. It's a compelling story, obviously. which is a big part of it. But it also just shows the power, I think, of Netflix, that this film, which clearly was not making a very big dent as far as the public conscience was concerned, all of a sudden gets on this platform and really blows up on social media in just the span of a month. So I think it shows how Netflix is just this big influencer and how many people really interact with it and pay attention to it. And I think it's sort of a good indicator of how much we rely on Netflix for our entertainment. And it's a really interesting case.
And I don't know if you get the same reaction I do on all my social media platforms, but the people who I follow and the people who I'm friends with, they look at it much in the same way, in that kind of like a car wreck. Like, it's so awful mm-hmm. that they just can't turn their attention away from it. They want to look away, but they just can't.
Yeah, and I think we saw this just last month as well with the Ted Bundy series that's also on Netflix, where it kind of just, you know, it's just going to continue to be terrible, and you're not quite sure, you know, how much worse it can get, and yet you keep watching. So I definitely think that's part of the allure.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way. And boy, it just, I've not had a chance to dive into that yet, but based on what I've heard, I'm at least a little bit intrigued. So I look forward to diving into that at some point. And like you said, because it's more like, you know, it's 90 minutes, not a 7-part series or anything like that. It's one thing you can commit to on a night when, you know, when you get home and you're looking for something to, you don't even have to binge on it. You just need 90 minutes. You need an hour and a half. It's like you're, you know, carving out time to watch a movie. So that's why I think the ease of viewing of that also, it makes it a little more entertaining as well. All right, got to get your thoughts on this weekend's box office results. Didn't seem like there were a ton of real big surprises here.
Yeah, there really weren't as far as the films and their expectations. I think the one big surprise was the Lego Movie kind of underperformed, the Lego Movie 2. It finished with $34.4 million, but that was about $20 million below expectations. So I think that the studio especially was a little bit surprised about it. It still was well-reviewed. It's at 85% on Rotten Tomatoes and an A-minus cinema score of audience ratings. So it's kind of a curious case. I don't know if it's maybe just that it's been 5 years since the first movie came out, or that in that time span we also got the Lego Batman movie and Lego Ninjago movie. So it might just be franchise fatigue there. But it was a little surprising to see it kind of dip below expectations. But the other big openings this weekend, particularly What Men Want, did about as expected on overall kind of a quiet weekend at the box office.
You feel like What Men Want could be a little bit bigger, a little more profitable this coming weekend, since I don't know how they do this. I'm not sure if this was Valentine's weekend or maybe next weekend is considered Valentine's weekend, but it feels like that's the kind of movie that if you're taking your significant other out for a night in the town, maybe you want to go see a movie, that might be one that you kind of get taken to. You feel like there could be an uptick as a result of that?
Definitely. I think word of mouth should certainly help it. Valentine's Day timing should certainly help it. But it's also, next weekend, there's really not anything big coming out that it has to compete with. The biggest release next week or this weekend will be Alita Battle Angel, which the early reviews have not been very good so far. So it might just be a case where it doesn't have a lot of competition and it's well-timed and it sees a nice bump in its box office returns and carries itself through a second week. Yeah.
And of course, third at the box office this week was the new Liam Neeson movie, Cold Pursuit. And I kind of thought he was done for a while, but he never really seems to go away. Not that his movies are bad, but, you know, Cold Pursuit, at least the story itself, I thought was kind of fascinating. Do you think this is his last go around, or do you think he's still got some bullets left in the chamber?
Well, it's kind of hard to say. His action films in particular have had diminishing returns over the last 5 years or so. He hasn't had a really big mega hit in that arena since Taken 3. And while the last couple films of his have made money for their studios, it's not really been a lot, and they haven't really been these big, popular, zeitgeisty kind of films. But I think the biggest thing that he's facing is the controversy that he kind of put himself into last week on the press tour for this film, where kind of unprompted, he told a story about a friend of his who was raped, and him kind of saying that he went out to black neighborhoods specifically looking for people to get into a fight with to take out his anger and frustration. And it really, like I said, it was unprompted. He kind of just brought this story upon himself, and the controversy, I think, has been pretty deserved in this case. And it definitely had a big effect on the film at the box office. It really had kind of average reviews, and its cinema scores holding about the same. So I think he kind of shot himself in the foot on this one, and it will be kind of interesting to see if he recovers or how he might do that. But he does have another action movie coming out called The Honest Thief that I think is coming out later this year. So that will be a big indicator. If that movie tanks, then it's going to be really hard for him to come back, certainly as an action star, if not just as a prominent star in general from this kind of controversy.
So he's got another one coming out again later on this year. Jeez, oh man. Yeah. It just seems like he's never going to go away. All right. Well, Michael, before we let you loose, my friend, we need this week's picks to click. What should we be watching for this week?
A couple picks on Netflix. For fans of the show Big Mouth, they put out a Valentine's Day special. It's a double episode as a kind of bridge between seasons that's very funny. And if you're a fan of the show, make sure you check that out. Also worth checking out the film High Flying Bird, which came out on Netflix this past weekend. It's directed by Steven Soderbergh, who did the Ocean's 11 trilogy and a lot of other amazing films over the last couple of years, Magic Mike. And it is about a fictional NBA agent navigating his way through a league lockout. It was shot entirely on an iPhone, and it is a really fun and very entertaining movie, especially if you're a sports fan. And last, there's a new show coming out this weekend called The Umbrella Academy. It's based off of a comic book about a group of superheroes who were raised as kids by an eccentric, wealthy man who now have to reunite as adults to save the world. I saw it described as the Royal Tenenbaums with superheroes, so that will certainly be worth checking out this weekend.
Very cool stuff. Michael, as always, my friend, we appreciate the time, and we look forward to doing it again soon.
Thanks a lot.